Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight with the Texas, the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are in Philippians. Today we're starting a new study in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that we're entitling Complete My Joy. Today we're going to be looking just at verse 1. This is our 101st episode, the 19th episode of season 2, and we're glad that you are studying along with us. The first verse of chapter 2 says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, and any affection and sympathy," and I hate to stop there in the middle of a sentence for an episode, but there's a lot to unpack there as we begin these incomplete sentences in Greek, but to talk about, is there these things? Are there these things in Christ? Is there encouragement? Is there comfort? Is there love? Is there participation? Is there affection and sympathy? And hopefully we can talk about all of those things today. So let's start, Garrett, with, is there any encouragement in Christ?
Yeah. He's going to make this, start making this point, an if-then statement, but it starts obviously with, if there's encouragement in Christ. And obviously I think that there is encouragement to be found in Christ, not only in Christ himself, but in other Christians and the way that the church was designed to be. But there is encouragement in Christ. There's encouragement in Christ in that, you know, our relationship with him, that he is this mediator between us and God, that he's, you know, saved us from our sins, and that he's restored this relationship with God. We wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be having this discussion without Christ. And so obviously there is encouragement in Christ, and that if nothing else, we have new life in him.
Well, and he started off this by saying so, which connects you back to what he'd said before. The last time he talked about Christ is in verse 29. Mm-hmm. Granted you for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer his sake. Seeing how Jesus suffered, ought to bring us comfort. That's the way this word is translated in John, the comforter that he would send to them. But the word just means to come alongside, to help, to counsel, to exhort. And there certainly is that in Jesus's example, which is what he's ultimately going to get to in this chapter. Then he asks, is there any comfort from love, or consolation of love, some translations say.
Yeah, this consolation of love is one that, you know, it is obviously there whenever we think about loving people, and I guess you can use that in both ways, loving people and loving people. Then you kind of think about this idea that, you know, you're being consoled in hard times. And we, you know, he just points out their opponents and whatnot in verse 28, that you have people that are working against you. Obviously, you have Satan that's trying to work against you. But just as much as you are, you know, maybe tearing yourself apart and dividing each other, you also have people that are standing there beside you. And we've all felt, or at some point in our lives will feel, the effect of the church for us during hard times. There's a consolation of love in that there's people around you that's fighting for you and wanting to be on your side.
And from the Lord himself, you know, a loving spirit is the idea behind this. And it kind of portrays the idea of the Lord whispering comforting things in your ear, almost. Any participation in the Spirit is what the ESV says. I'm guessing the New American has fellowship of the Spirit. Which is the idea behind that word is fellowship. It's koinonia. Participation or coming together has to do with the sharing that spirit of love here. We have a community in Christ, as Garrett was just pointing out. We have sharing a salvation in the Lord. We have affection. The Greek word here is this fellowship here of the Spirit has to do with, like, it's the word that we use for communion, those kinds of things, that we're a part of a community. We're together. And then he says any affection and sympathy. So tell us about the affection.
Yeah, it's having affection for one another. It seems to be that there's this, you know, idea that there's a longing for each other, that you're having these kind of things in common, and that, you know, there's
the word there, the word there literally means guts or bowels.
Yeah.
And in some of the older translation, it's bowels of compassion, because it's the seat of the emotion.
It is. And that, you know, you feel deep emotions in your gut sometimes. And I think that's kind of, you know, where he's getting at here. Whenever you love people deeply, which is, again, what the church is supposed to be, and especially whenever you've gone without seeing those people or being without those people, or just having your relationship in the place where, you know, it can be or needs to be, there's a longing for that to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And when it is there, there's a longing for it to stay. And that's the idea behind this word, that there's an affection, there's a feeling you can have in your gut, in the seat of your emotion, about the people that you're with and about your relationship with Christ.
Yeah, and then sympathy at the very end of the verse in the ESV, is it
compassion?
Compassion. Yeah. It's the word that means mercy. If these things are real, the encouragement, the comfort, the love, the participation, the affection, if these things are real, then there ought to be mercy for one another. And if there is all these things, then unity ought to be the results, because all of these words have to do with unity. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind all of this is, you know, Paul's saying, we're going to get into verse 2, if there are these things, then make my joy complete by having unity. All of these things ought to exist in the church and in our relationship with each other. But as we talked about from the very beginning of this book, it is a book about joy. But where some people probably miss the mark is, it's not that everything is hunky-dory. It's that there is real problems here. And if all of these things exist in the church, then you would complete my joy. But right now, it's not there in the Philippian church. They're worried more about self. All of these words have to do with others.
Yeah.
Encouragement is something I give to others. Comfort is something I give to others. Love, fellowship, investing in relationships, affection and sympathy, all of those are things that you know, is a reciprocal kind of thing, but it's that I'm not focused on me. I'm focused on you is why that I'm doing that. And, you know, if there are those things, there ought to be unity in the church.
Well, and, you know, sometimes we get the attitude, you know, whenever relationships aren't going well, no matter what they are, you know, you kind of have this attitude sometimes of, you know, well, whenever they'll change and they start treating me right, then I'll change and I'll start acting, you know, right. Maybe you've had those emotions before, but that's kind of the antithesis of what he's saying here in verse 1, in that, you know, this isn't anything passive that you're waiting to come to you. If each person is taking the initiative here in verse that he's wanting them to here in these verses, and start giving encouragement, giving love, giving fellowship, affection, mercy, compassion, all these things, then a lot of things are just going to solve themselves. But I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with this compassion and mercy idea, that if there's all these other things, you know, if we mess up once in a while, then that's where this kind of fills in the gaps of, you know, well, is this really their character, or is this just that they messed up this time? You know what I'm saying? And that's a big difference, and that's something to ask. And so that's where you kind of fill in all these gaps and say, okay, this is a tangible, applicable list of things that I can do to start mending this kind of relationship. So practical application that he gives from Paul here.
And this section that we're studying in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, is really kind of the hub of the whole book. So it's a really important section to get. So we'll come back tomorrow and look at verse 2 and how to make Paul's joy complete as we continue looking through this Complete My Joy section of Philippians 2, 1 through 4. We hope you'll like, share, comment, subscribe, leave a rating, tell others about this, do all the things on wherever you get podcasts or social media to help get the word out. We hope you'll dedicate 5 to 10 minutes a day in studying God's Word with us to get the message from the text here on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.